Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to the Corbett Report. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you in July of 2025 with another edition of Solutions Watch. And this time we're going to be following up, in a sense, on a previous conversation that I had here on Solutions Watch that was quite popular at the time. It was from March of 2021, and it was called How to Present Info for Visual Learners. And if you have seen, or even if you want to refamiliarize yourself with that edition of Solutions Watch, I will, of course, put it in the show notes so that you can watch or rewatch it, or listen or re-listen to it, where I talked to author Etienne de Labuitie Squared, obviously a pen name, about his then-current book, Government, The Biggest Scam in History. And there was a lot of positive feedback to that conversation. In fact, as I understand it, the Corbett bump from that conversation actually overwhelmed his servers and took down his website for a day or two, and he quickly sold out of a print run, if I understand all of that correctly. Well, today we are going to be talking to Etienne de Labuitie Squared about his new book called To See the Cage is to Leave It. And, of course, the link to this book will be in the show notes for today's conversation. But let's bring him on the program. Etienne de Labuitie Squared, thank you for joining us again.
It is good to be with you and your audience once again, James.
Yes, it is good to be here and talking about something that I think is ultimately empowering and powerful. What am I talking about specifically? Not just a book, but like our last conversation, we were talking about Government, The Biggest Scam in History, in which you laid out not just the nuts and bolts of the biggest scam in history, but also, as we discussed in that conversation, sort of presenting that information in a visual style that is bound to get attention and to get people, even the attention deficit addled TikTok generation, interested in flipping through the pages. A perfect coffee table book, if you will. Well, here we are talking about your next book, To See the Cage is to Leave It. Tell us about this book, what it is, why you wrote it.
Sure. So the subtitle is 25. Well, the full title is To See the Cage is to Leave It, 25 Techniques the Few Use to Control the Many. And one of the kind of the big reveal of the book is that the organized crime government and their henchmen in the monopoly media are running a variety of unethically manipulative techniques, not just to get the population to go along obediently, but to really indoctrinate the idea of having a government as a religion. And so they're using the same tricks and the techniques that a unethically manipulative religion or a cult would use on their, on their victims. And a lot of these are being done surreptitiously and tricky, and a lot of things that people may have seen in movies or on television and not realize that there was a trick behind it. I'm exposing all of those tricks and techniques. I'm doing so in a very visual way that visual learners can grasp and very quickly have that moment of insight. And I'm doing it in a kind of a picture book that expands the amount of people that will engage with any book. And so from, unfortunately, with a text-only book, you might get 10 to 15% engagement from a population. But if you, what we've discovered at the Art of Liberty Foundation is if you make it very visually rich with lots of memes and visualizations and historical photos and things like that, that it will expand the amount of people that will engage with any book. And so it's really designed for people's friends and family and colleagues and loved ones. And you just can't put it down once you pick it up. And then the information comes at you in a way that's easily absorbed.
I can attest to that. And hopefully Brock will be able to show some of the pictures on screen here so that people can get a sense of what this book is like. It is certainly packed with information, but information in a very visually rich style, as you're talking about there. And I think that's part of what we're talking about here on Solutions Watch, because although I would like to think that a lot of my audience is already well informed about the cage that we are living in, although maybe not all of them, I still definitely do hear from people who are still trapped in the illusion that they're going to vote themselves to freedom. And don't worry, just vote harder for Trump this time, guys. And oh, wait, what's that about Epstein? Oh, I see. So I am starting to get some emails and feedback from people like, oh, I fell for it this time, but I won't next time, which I heard several years ago, the last time people fell for it. So I know that a lot of people could benefit from understanding and internalizing this information. But even if you are one of those dedicated corporate reporters who knows all about the biggest scam in history and the cage that is surrounding us, your friends don't. And I hear that all the time from people who say, I'm the only person in the area who knows anything about this. I don't know anyone in real life. They all think I'm crazy, etc., etc. Well, this could be one way of unlocking those people's minds. As you say, it is much more likely to get people's attention than an actual words on paper kind of text. I mean, that's a hard sell for this smartphone addicted generation. So why don't we start going through the information that's presented in here and how it helps people to leave the cage?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me move to my presentation. And so just to kind of make the point, I've taken a lot of the visuals and the images from the book so people can understand how impactful they can be. And so just to get started, I like to, at the Art of Liberty Foundation, we call it organized crime theory. It's not a conspiracy theory, it's an organized crime theory, and that government was really never designed to serve and protect, but it's really best thought of as a technique of intergenerational organized crime to rob and control society. And monopolized media and algorithmic censorship of the internet have been controlling the information the population receives to hide the illegitimacy, the illogical nature, the immorality, and the criminality of government since at least the 1700s in the United States. And that's some of the history that I break down in the book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History. Now, books are the most powerful way to change someone's worldview. And even the intelligence agencies recognize this. And this is a quote from something that came out in the Church Committee hearings in 1976. And they say, that according to the chief of the covert action staff of the CIA's clandestine services group, he said, books differ from all other propaganda media primarily because one single book can significantly change the reader's attitude and action to an extent unmatched by the impact of any other single medium. This is, of course, not true of all books at all times with all readers, but it is true significantly often enough to make books the most important weapon of strategic long-range propaganda. And because books are that important, in a previous life, I used to be a productivity expert for Fortune 500, 150 companies. And so I understand the way that people learn. And so what I did is I designed the books to appeal to visual learners. I purposefully am using some techniques to bring people into that moment of insight and also, like I mentioned, expand the amount of people that will engage with any book. And so some of the techniques that I'm using, and so just to understand, and we covered a little bit of this, but just to touch on, for new folks, why are visuals so powerful? Because eyes are outgrowths of the brain itself. 30% of the cerebral cortex is devoted to vision versus 8% to touch and 3% to hearing. 40% of the nerve fibers that are attached to your brain are linked to the retina. 65% of your friends and family are visual learners, and the eyes can register around 36,000 visual images per hour, but people can really only understand about 400 words per minute. And so by using visuals, it's very, very impactful. It only takes about a quarter of a second for the human brain to process and attach meaning to a symbol. But by comparison, it takes an average of 6 seconds to read 20 to 25 words to convey the exact same meaning. And human beings can get a sense of a visual scene in less than 1/10 of a second because 70% of sensory receptors are in the eyes. And finally, seeing is believing in presentations using visual aids were 43% more persuasive than those without. And that's, you know, known as the picture superiority effect, where ideas presented graphically are easier to comprehend. And so one of the other techniques that we use in the book is we're making the invisible visible. And so an example of that, using visualization to make the invisible visible, this is a chart from Swiss Propaganda Research showing dozens and dozens of ostensibly independent media outlets have their reporters, their producers, and their editors all organized into three organizations, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission, where they're meeting on a regular basis in secure facilities around the world. And so when you take a look at a large-scale scam like the COVID or like 9/11, and people, I frequently hear, oh, you're saying that all the media is in on it. They couldn't all be in on it. Well, once you understand how they're organized, you're like, oh, well, I guess they all could be in on it. Another technique that we use is revelation of the pattern. This is a visualization from the book, and where we're describing technique number 14. And human beings are really good pattern recognition machines. And, you know, some of these, this trick photography and this religious iconography, when it comes by one at a time, people really don't, you know, see it, and they really don't understand that it's a trick and that it's artificial. But when you stack up a dozen or two dozen, examples of using religious iconography with the presidents, the popes of the artificially indoctrinated religion, the brain says, "Hey, wait a minute, there's a pattern there. They're doing that on purpose." And that revelation of the pattern, reinforces the artificiality. And then also memes are like Molotov cocktails through the Overton window. And so so here's an example of that. On the ridiculousness of the Constitution, I'm sure many in your educated audience will be familiar with Lysander Spooner. He wrote No Treason, The Constitution of No Authority in 1870, where he absolutely decimated the idea of the legitimacy of the Constitution, that you could be bound by a social contract that you didn't sign, that it could grant powers to the government not possessed by the people supposedly doing the granting, and just absolutely ripped up the idea of the Constitution. But it took him 8,621 words, and depending on which edition of his book you're reading, 70 to 126 pages. This meme that I've got in the middle, sign right here, where it says we give ourselves the power to make up rules and take the wealth of others, you're able to just destroy that idea in kind of 21 words. Got another version, the napkin condensed version of the Constitution. I have authority over you because it says so right here on this napkin. Give me your money. Again, 21 words. And so memes have that ability to really cut through and be very, very impactful very, very quickly. So now, what is the big reveal in To See the Cage is to Leave It? And I mentioned it already, but that the belief in government is being secretly and unethically indoctrinated as a religion. The government is God. Politicians are the prophets. The flag is the artificially indoctrinated holy symbol that is essentially used the same way an idol would be used in other unethically manipulative religions. The laws are the commandments. Voting is the equivalent of praying, and taxes are the equivalent of tithes. And so you're going to go to the church school where the teacher, the priest, is going to teach you all about the sacred text of the Constitution. They're going to have you engage in the common prayer of the Pledge of Allegiance here in the United States. In middle school, you will be taken to Washington, D.C., Mecca, where they will take you into the cathedral of the Capitol that looks like the Vatican for a reason. And they will take you to the temples and to the monuments, and they will show you the deities of Lincoln and Jefferson, and it will be very, very hushed, and it will be very, very reverent. and they're going to take children before they're old enough to really understand the logic and morality, and they're going to teach them that government is legitimate, desirable, and necessary. And so, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just go through, just real quickly, just some of the techniques in the book.
Sure.
And so, technique number one is the mandatory government school system, where children are taught that government is legitimate, desirable, and necessary before they're old enough to evaluate the logic and the morality of the claim. Now, interestingly enough, this was the exact same technique that was used by the organized crime government on the Indians. And so after the organized crime government conquered the Native Americans and stole their land, they sent the Indian children to mandatory government schools to turn the once free Indians into citizens, taxpayers, and soldiers. It didn't work on all of them, and I got a little like funny t-shirt there at the bottom that says boarding school dropout. The second technique is government-affiliated youth programs. And this includes the Cub Scouts, the Weeblos, the Boy Scouts, the Explorers, the JROTC, the ROTC, the Young Marines, and even there's some others that I'm forgetting, but Hitler kind of described it best when he said, you know, the boys and girls enter our organizations at 10 years of age, and often for the first time they get a little air. After 4 years of the young folk, Cub Scouts, they go on to the Hitler Youth Explorers, where we have them for another 4 years. And even if they are still not completely National Socialists, statists, they go on to the Labor Service, AmeriCorps, where they're smoothed out there for another 7 months. And whatever class consciousness or social status might still be left, the Wehrmacht, the German Armed Forces, will take care of that. Now, that is describing essentially the exact same program that not only is the United States engaged in, but in the Soviet Union, it was called the Young Pioneers and the Commissar. It's different. It's known as different things in different country, but essentially all of the governments are running the exact same bag of tricks on their populations. Now, techniques 4 and 5 are military and police training. Now, the book breaks down dozens of unethically manipulative sub-techniques used on the police and the military, including verbal and physical abuse, excessive stress, degradation, humiliation, sleep deprivation, isolation, and the artificial conformity of the uniform. So the uniform is the single form, and shaved heads, which replace an individual's physical appearance with a group appearance, which further reinforces the artificially created group dynamic. There are other techniques that I break down in the book, but you can just kind of see that all of the doors and the walls have been taken off the stalls in Marine Corps basic training, so that recruits never have a moment of private time to reflect on what's happening to them. They're kind of kept in this kind of artificially indoctrinated group dynamic. You can see a shot from the movie Full Metal Jacket showing what's popularly known as a blanket party, where people in basic training, if they're non-conforming, they will essentially be held down in their bunks and they will be beaten with either soap bars in a towel or a sock. If they really don't like you, it's a lock. I have a friend of mine's son. It was done to a friend of mine's son, so I know it goes on today. It's not just in the movies. It's a real deal. And I'm just showing, just because I like, I go into even more of the techniques in the book, but these are just a few that are being used on the police and the military. Technique number 7 is very interesting because a lot of people have seen this in the movies, and perhaps you've been to a funeral of a service member and not understood what was going on. But the government is manipulatively weaving the flag into the burial ceremony of the deceased, which is a trick to get the participants to dissociate the memory of their beloved deceased with the flag and with the government. Technique number 8 is paid for flag worship woven into stadium events. And so this is a form of a marketing technique called anchoring. And so if you've ever been to a football game or a baseball game or hockey game in the United States, frequently at halftime or before the game, there's some kind of flag worship event. And so what they're doing is they're while everybody is in a, they're outside, they're having a feel good moment. Maybe they've got a beer or two in them. Maybe they're having fun stadium food. There's the energy of the crowd. There's the excitement of the game. And so what they're doing is they're anchoring that excitement of the game, that excitement of being outside and the exhilaration of the event itself to the flag. Now, sometimes they do it trickily. And so in the bottom right hand on this slide is actually, you know, an image from the Super Bowl, this year's Super Bowl, 2025 Super Bowl and the halftime show. Instead of doing a flag ceremony, they just had Kendrick Lamar's backup dancers in red, white, and blue, and they just formed the flag again, anchoring the excitement of the Super Bowl to the flag. And then Mustard in the upper right-hand corner, you know, Mustard, the other rapper in the duo, had American flags prominently on his jacket. Now, technique number nine is the government is the hero in movies and TV because the government is paying for it. Now, new and improved in this book is in the EPUB version of the book. You can just click on this image in the book. If you're in the print version, you can scan this QR code and it will screen pop a kind of 2-minute trailer that breaks down the basics of a documentary, highly recommended documentary called Theaters of War, that exposes how the CIA and the Department of Defense have direct involvement in over 1,000 major movies and over 1,000 television shows, Argo, Zero Dark Thirty, and others that shape a false paradigm of the legitimacy of the government, the desirability of the government. They're making the government the hero, whether it's Mulder and Scully, the FBI agent saving the world, whether it's Tom Cruise as Top Gun Maverick, or Tom Cruise as CIA agent Ethan Hunt, or the President of the United States flying fighter jets to save the planet from invading aliens. They're running game on the population by controlling the information that they receive about the government in movies and television shows. Technique number 10 is subliminal programming. Now, this is, again, you can, you know, click on this short video in the EPUB, or you can scan this QR code. But what you're going to learn in this short clip is for your younger viewers, in the old days, television wasn't 24/7, 365. And at the end of the broadcast day, all of the major networks would run something called a sign-off message. And this is a sign-off message from, I think it's the 1970s, where as the words, "Oh say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave," as they're playing the national anthem and the religiosity of the video and everything, these words are scrolling off the screen, and for just an instant, it's scrolling and it's saying, "Trust the U.S. government. God is real. God is watching. Believe in government. God. Rebellion will not be tolerated. Obey. Do not question the government." So it's sliding off, but just for a second, you're going to see that text on the screen, and your brain is going to register it. And so it's another example of how the government is tricking and chumping and running game on the population. Now, technique 11 is anchoring the flag to moments of high positive emotion. Again, something that you might not have noticed is going on. But what they're doing is they're using the same technique of anchoring that I mentioned in the stadium events. They're doing it with the movies and the television shows. The movie will build the audience up to a moment of high positive emotion. Rocky's win, Superman carrying the flag around the United States. It will be at that the moment of high positive emotion that the film is taking the viewer on, and boom, they're going to show you the flag. And so they're going to bring you to a heightened emotional state, and then they're going to show you the flag, and then they're going to show you the flag, and then they're going to show you the flag. Now, technique number 13 is the flag is woven into sexually appealing advertising. And in the case of the GQ example, the GQ cover on the left, there's even a little subliminal where, you know, it says, God, this is a great country. And so they're going to not just associate the flag with beautiful women, but they're going to throw in a little subliminal of God, this is a great country as well. Technique number 16 is exploiting behavioral psychology to satisfy most people's biological desire for a leader or a father figure. You had mentioned Trump as we kind of gotten started, but there's actually some science behind why people are so religiously attached to the idea of having a leader. It's called evolutionary leadership theory, and it posits that most humans have an innate biological desire for a leader as an evolutionary survival mechanism for our tribal past. And so it was actually a survival trait to have a strong leader in the, you know, for the tribe to have a strong leader. And so what the government has done is they've created an artificial tribe. The United States is essentially an artificial tribe, and they're offering the population the choice of two potential puppet leaders, a blue government leader marketed to appeal to urban conservatives and a red government leader designed to appeal to rural conservatives. So urban liberals and rural conservatives, and then many people fall for the fake Hobson's choice and begin to self-identify with their preferred leader, even if it's obvious that he's tricking them, even if he's obviously caught in lies, even if he's obviously not doing what he said he would do, whether it's not releasing the Epstein tapes or whatever the lie of the day is, people will overlook that because they are religiously attached biologically to having a leader, even if there isn't a real difference between the leaders. And this is a meme that really breaks it down that whether it's Biden or Trump, both of them are 100% in lockstep on all of the issues that are important to the ruling folks behind the scenes. They're 100% in lockstep on not releasing the Epstein files. They're 100% in lockstep on the COVID. They're 100% in lockstep on forcing unnecessary vaccines. They're 100% in lockstep on fractional reserve banking. They're 100% in lockstep on multi-trillion dollar bailouts to private banks and companies. I could go on and on. I think your audience gets the idea. There really isn't a difference when what really matters to the rulers behind the scene. And the big surprise is that these techniques create a cult. And I don't use that word lightly, and I know that word offends many, but that's the stone cold truth of the situation. Is that the belief in and support for government easily meets the definition of a cult. And what I do in the book is I actually break down, this is, you know, I've got it up on the screen, I'm not going to read it, but I take the textbook definition of the word of what an unethically manipulative cult is, and I actually break it down phrase by phrase to really bring home that they've been able to indoctrinate a belief system into the population that is unhealthy, against your interests, and is not good. And most of your viewers and most people, if you really think about it and you look around at some of the behavior of the victims, they're exhibiting classic textbook cult behavior. And this is another screenshot of the book where I break down the suspension of individuality. Everyone's an American. It's been decided for you. And also the police and the military, the shaved heads and the uniforms, is absolutely identical to other cults. Hare Krishna's, Rajneeshpuram members, Heaven's Gates, Jim Jones People's Temple members, and the Unification Church, Moonies, or other organizations that ask their adherents to suspend their own individuality and either shave their heads and or assume the uniform. And so you can look around you and you can see, you know, very obvious cult-like behavior among the victims, even though they're wearing the flag of the organization that is stealing half their income in overt taxes, covert taxes, and inflation. And I just want to pause there because that's really the, you know, all of kind of the techniques. And then I know that you wanted to get into some solutions. And so I thought before we'd get into solutions, if you wanted to comment on anything that I just said.
Well, Etchend, you do not have to convince me of most of the things that you were talking about here. I am unfortunately all too well aware of them. Nor do you have to convince me, unfortunately, that people are 1,000 times more likely to spend 3 hours a day scrolling through memes than they are to spend that exact same amount of time reading books. So, sorry, Spooner, sorry, No Treason. It's a book that is worth people's time and attention, but people are more likely to look at memes. We can just sit there and lament that fact, or we can actually do something about it. Use people's natural inclinations and what people have at the very least been programmed into to hopefully deprogram them and steer them towards books like No Treason, because there will be people who still do read and will be interested in that. So I think this is a valuable idea. Let me ask you two sort of related questions then. One, what is your intention with this book? What would you like to have happen as a result of this book? And two, can you share any experiences or feedback that you've had in successfully unlocking people's minds through information like this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So number one, my goal with the book is I want to be the guy that widely exposes the illegitimacy and the criminality of government by making a book that goes viral and wakes up a significant enough amount of the population that we're able to impact the legitimacy of government on a wide scale, not just in the United States, but globally. And so that's what we're trying to do at the Art of Liberty Foundation. That's why I wrote my book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History. And that's why I keep sharpening the edge with this book. This one, I think, is even more impactful than the first. And the first one has already sold 7,000 plus copies, 25 countries. It's been the best-selling book at 24 plus Liberty Conferences events. We've had 30,000 plus digital downloads. And that was before, you know, I really figured out how to sell books. And so now I'm trying to figure out, now I'm getting it into bookstores. Now it's available for the first time on Amazon.com. And so I'm getting better at getting the message across. And so, but I want to be the guy that widely exposes the illegitimacy and the criminality of government. And then, you know, what kind of success? Well, I've had a tremendous amount of success, and I get testimonials from people all the time. Some of those you can read on the first two pages of Government, the Biggest Scam in History. I'll tell you, one of my favorites was Monica Perez, the host of Deep Dives with Monica Perez. I sent a copy to her. It's hard to be a prophet in your own land. And so she had a teenage daughter, and the teenage daughter thought mom was kind of crazy. And then she gave the book, she gave my book to the teenage daughter, and my book woke her teenage daughter up as one example. Like, even if you're Monica Perez, you might be having trouble convincing your own kids or family members about what's going on. And so that's one of the testimonials that I'm proudest of the most. Kind of another success that I had with Government, the Biggest Scam in History, is I was in a gym in Dripping Springs, Texas, and I was in the sauna after my workout, and there's a couple of 18-year-old kids in there that were talking about how they were going to be joining the military in the next 2 weeks, and they were talking about their plans and everything like that, and I said, hey guys, listen, I don't think that's a good idea. And I explained that I was an author, and I gave him a copy of my book, and I ran into one of them about a week later, and he just laughed, and he's like, we're not going in the military anymore. And I, like, you know, kept some kids out of the military's meat grinder. And so those are just a couple. But like I said, I've got even more, you know, testimonials of people that have taken down their flags and have just given up on the religion of statism 100%. And I really think it's because, you know, I'm exposing that the government is running these unethically manipulative tricks. And once people realize, oh, wait a minute, they're doing that on purpose. They're trying to trick me. Well, nobody likes to get tricked. Nobody likes to get chumped. And so that's one of the things that I do different for most people is, and I think is very, very effective, is I expose how the magician does the trick. And you can't get fooled if you understand how the magician does the trick.
It's a very important point, one that I've made a number of times. For example, one of the successes that we could point to with something like the 9/11 truth movement is just introducing people to the concept of false flag terrorism, because it is much harder to pull off once people know that that technique exists. So I very much applaud your efforts, and getting the feedback that you have helped save some people's children from the military meat grinder must be some of the most gratifying feedback that you can receive. I'm racking my brain. I don't think I've ever received that specific feedback. So if there is anyone out there who has been dissuaded from the military because of the Corbett Report, I would be very interested to hear about it. But having said that, I can also attest to the power of your communicative ability, because I remember seeing you at Anarchopoco, I believe it was 2020, right? 20. Before the madness, the Scamdemic madness. And I remember watching your presentation and then watching about a quarter of the audience leave after you left so they could go talk to you and corner you down in the hall because they wanted to hear more about the book. So I know this is a popular message. I know it resonates with people. But let's just use our imagination a bit. This is Solutions Watch, so we are working towards some sort of goal here. Assuming the goal is to really wake people up and get them to at least realize and start questioning, at least seeing the cage so that they can then leave it. And once they realize they've been indoctrinated into a cult, what does the world look like at that point? Once a significant number of people realize the conditioning they've been under and break that spell, what can humanity achieve?
Well, I think it's real freedom. And, you know, one of the, I think kind of the good news message of, you know, both my books is that the populations in the world have been measured. They've been measured by the Cato Institute, Fraser Institute in Canada, based on the amount of personal and economic freedom that they have. And one of the things that we know across the board is that the more freedom you have, the wealthier and the healthier that you are as a society. And so what I'm looking to do is I call it real freedom. And when I sign my books, I write real in capitals, and I underline and I bold it to differentiate it for the fake freedom that is taught in the government school systems. But I actually believe that that society will flourish once you have real freedom, when the government isn't stealing the value out of the money using fractional reserve banking or quantitative easing or digital dollar creation, everyone would be dramatically, dramatically wealthier. They would be able to afford the kind of education they want for their kids. They would be able to afford, you know, a much more dynamic economy, because everybody would be able to buy more things. You would have much more economic choice if the organized crime banks at the top of the pyramid of power weren't taking the digital dollars that they have and providing unlimited capital to a certain number of corporations to monopolize their own corner of the economy. So there'd be much more, you know, much greater opportunities and much more vibrant economy. More people wouldn't have to work, so that the people that did have to work would be paid much more, because there would be, you know, you wouldn't have the confiscatory taxes of estate taxes and all of the hidden taxes that everybody pays on everything from cell phone bills to cable television to gasoline to beer to cigarettes to you name it, whatever it is, there's a hidden tax on it, airline tickets. And so everybody would be dramatically wealthier. And also society would be much more harmonious, because we wouldn't have to be fighting at the ballot box over the school board, because you would be able to afford, you know, whatever kind of school that you have. You don't have to fight at the school board level, where right now there's kind of a knife fight where if you lose at the school board level, you know, in San Francisco, you may get LGBTQ, you know, theory. If you lose in another city, you may get critical race. If you lose in Michigan, you might get Islamic studies. And so right now, you know, there's all this kind of disharmony caused by government. And so I think people would be much more harmonious. And so those are some of the things that I think you would see with real freedom. You asked me to bring some solutions. Do you want to talk about those right now?
Let's do it. Yes.
All right. Let's roll on. And so, the number one solution is, you know, for, you know, and really I dedicated to the book to good people trapped in a bad system. Okay. And so number one, whether you're a government employee or whether you're just a, you know, regular, you know, tax, quote unquote, you know, tax payer, tax slave, you've got to get it through your head that government is illegitimate on its face. It is impossible to have a moral, logical, legitimate government. I'm amazed at how often I explain this to somebody, that it's absolutely impossible to have a moral, legitimate government, that you can't have an island of 10 people and six people can't vote to rob the other six. And right after I get them to agree with everything that I said and see the logic of that, they're like, but we just got to have some kind of government, or we just have to have like a smaller government, or maybe if we had this kind of government or that kind of government. And then I bang my head on the table. But hopefully, you know, one of the things that I try and do is I try and break it down in visualizations and images, that it is absolutely impossible to have a legitimate government. So we have to do something else. Now, the other thing that I do in the book is there's a little bit of a tough love message for those government employees, because they absolutely positively have to understand that government is organized crime, and that government employees aren't paying any taxes and they're living off money stolen at the point of a gun. I have a Frederick Bastiat quote. I think he said it best, you know, when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves in the course of time a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. And that's what the monopoly media is trying to do, and the government schools and all the ways the government is controlling the information people receive. But you've really got to understand that the government in Washington, D.C. is being run as a criminal enterprise. It is stealing trillions of dollars. It's all going out the back door for weapon systems that we don't need to fight wars based on lies and manufactured intelligence. It's going to banks for quote-unquote bailouts and stimulus. It's going to vaccine manufacturers for mandatory vaccines that are going to hurt your kids, and dozens of other ways that the organized crime government in Washington, D.C. is stealing money from the population and sliding it out the back door. And, you know, the other kind of tough love message for the government employees is, it's not fair that we're all paying taxes and the government employees aren't. And so I break it down in this meme right here, that taxes is the money stolen by the government from individuals in the private sector providing goods and services to the world. Those are the taxes. That's the pile of taxes. Okay. Government employees don't contribute to that pile. They receive the taxes stolen from others. They are not taxpayers. They are tax receivers. They're just receiving less taxes. And that hurts when you think about it, but we've got to quit pretending that this isn't organized crime and that this isn't what's going on. And so there is like a little bit of a tough love message, you know, for the troop, for the government employees that have been tricked into serving organized crime. Now, luckily, and again, the kind of the good news message on the solution side is there's something known as voluntarism, which is the common sense idea that all human association should be voluntary, with the assertion that any act of violence other than self-defense, whether by an individual, organization, or government, is illegitimate or unlawful. There's a little bit, it recognizes the world as a self-organizing system that produces spontaneous order, and everything the government does would be better provided by the free market, mutual aid societies, nonprofits, and real charities. So the good news message is that we really don't need government, and there is a movement that is gathering steam and is moving and is starting to coalesce around these ideas called voluntarism. And so so one of the things I'm doing is I've got a number of different, visualizations that break it down. This is one of them from the book. And so what your teacher told you about the political spectrum is that you've got dirty commies on the far left and bad fascists on the far right. And in between that, you've got Democrats, moderates, and Republicans. But that's really not an adequate way to understand the political spectrum or the world. And so here's another way to think about it is you've got commies and fascists on the far left, and that's complete tyranny. That's 100%, government control. And then as you move to the right, you gain more and more freedom. So you go through socialists, liberals, moderates, conservatives, libertarians, until you get to voluntarism, which is real freedom. And like I mentioned earlier, because freedom produces the goods, because freedom makes everybody wealthier, and freedom produces more harmony in society, that's a good thing. Why don't we maximize freedom? Why don't we make the goal the maximum amount of freedom as humanly possible? And then good things will happen because of that. Now, this one is another, something else from the book. This is something that we developed at the Art of Liberty Foundation. We call it a privatician. And we recommend if you're voting and you have to vote defensively, okay, and there are places that it makes sense. I'm a big supporter of the Free State Project in New Hampshire. I don't believe in voting to rob and redistribute, but I do think in certain cases where you've got, where you have the opportunity for a dedicated minority that's building steam and voting defensively, to vote. Now, how do you know who to vote for? And so what we did is we set a standard. We call it a privatician. And a privatician is a person running to be an elected official who doesn't believe that government is legitimate, desirable, or necessary, but is committed to help their community by serving as an honest steward and a community servant, privatizing everything that can be privatized and focusing on just protecting life, liberty, and property. And privaticians have pledged to never vote to redistribute, but only to vote defensively to protect civil and economic liberties. We've got a little a pledge there. And if your politician doesn't understand the illegitimacy of government or isn't being honest about it, then how can they be trusted? And so it really is, what we're offering the world is a yardstick with which to measure, potential elected representatives. Solutions for the military. The tough love for the military is that, until you're kicking in the doors of corrupt politicians, you're not defending our freedom. You're mostly what you're doing is you're serving in armies of occupation around the world in wars that are being waged for resources. You're not defending the United States. You're participating in the exact same foreign wars that supposedly our forefathers warned us about. But here are some actionable things that the military should be doing. And number one is don't kill anybody that isn't actually attacking somebody in the United States. And so if you're abroad and they're trying to have you wage a war for resources or something else, just don't do it. Don't take the karma. Don't take the negativity. Shoot above their heads. Don't murder anybody for this organized crime government, because murder is still murder regardless of what they told you or the costume that you wear. I recommend the documentary Sir No Sir, which we have on our uncensorable companion flash drive, The Liberator, to understand how the GIs in the Vietnam era got organized and stopped that war, and then get your buddies organized to say no to murder for hire. Something else is you got to realize that you aren't bound by the oath you took to the Constitution due to a well-recognized legal principle called fraudulent inducement, or fraud in the inducement. And because the organized crime government lied to you, because they ran these unethically manipulative indoctrination and propaganda techniques on you, and because government is illegitimate or and immoral on its face, you are not bound by any oath you took because there was fraud in the inducement. And then finally, don't get mad at the messenger. You know, they had me hook, line, and sinker. I was a Cub Scout. I was a Boy Scout. I hate to be the one that has to bring this message to the world. It's caused strife and harmony in my own family. But get angry with the organized crime system that ran game on you with the movies and the television shows and the social media and the video games and tricked you into shaving the head and your head and putting on the uniform. Finally, as we wrap it all up, everything in the book is backed up by a 64 gigabit flash drive that we call the Liberator and Dropboxes. So I make it available for free at government-scam.com/Liberator. So if you wanted to get some of these memes, if you wanted to get some of these things, you can do so for free. They're in drop boxes at government-scam.com Liberator. You can get the book at seethecage.com. You can get Government, the Biggest Scam in History at government-scam.com. My organization is called the Art of Liberty Foundation. We are a startup public policy organization. We want to be a think tank with the same power that of a Cato or a Heritage, but coming at our problems from a principled voluntarist perspective that government is illegitimate. And the other thing that sets us apart is that we are focused on the government being run as a criminal enterprise. Washington, D.C., the government today is being run at a criminal enterprise, and we're exposing that at artofliberty.org. We're exposing that on Substack at artofliberty.substack.com. And that is all that I have to say about that.
That is quite a download of information. But speaking of downloads, I hope people will take you up on the Liberator, either the flash drive or the Dropbox, so that they can start spreading this information and hopefully unlocking some more minds. Although I must say, Etchin, I think we need to collaborate more on our work, because when you read the Up-Down Politics essay in my reportage book, you'll see I also talk about that fake, phony political spectrum versus the reality of the libertarian authoritarian spectrum, but I posit them in essentially perpendicular to each other to create a grid. However, mine is all in words. Maybe I need the handy-dandy infographic to go along with it to help explain what it is I'm trying to articulate there, and I think that is the point. Again, we can lament the fact that people tend to be visual learners who learn more from pictures than they do from words, but why lament it when you can actually make use of it to help unlock people's minds?
I want to point this out. I noticed that in the book, and I was so impressed with reportage that I bought copies for each of my sons.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. Let me know what your sons think about them. I would be interested in that feedback.
I will do so. Good, I will get that bad for you.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for that. I think there's so much to talk about, so much to bite off and chew here, but I think this is a lot for people to cogitate on. So I think we'll leave it here and allow people to discover more about this book in their own time. Give people the website once again where they can get the book.
SeeTheCage.com.
Simple enough. Easy to remember. All the links will be in the show notes, and I have a feeling we'll probably be talking about this and related subjects again in the future, but in the meantime, Etchin de la Boetie Squared, thank you for your time.
It's been a pleasure.